Hey y'all, I'm Shelby, a marketer, creative, wordsmith, and world-class talker.
And I'm Erica, a project manager, creative, interior designer, and world-class hype woman, and we're the hosts of the All Things Melanin podcast.
This is a safe space where open, honest, and transparent conversations are the norm.
We share our journey of navigating all aspects of life, and we're not holding back. Now let's get into this week's episode.
Erica!
Hey, Shelby.
What's good? What's popping? What's happening? What's right with you today?
You know what? I'm not going to complain today. I am going to be positive, positive vibes. I'm just going to focus on what is right, which would be me being healthy, me waking up, me being grateful, me just being really blessed. That's really all I can say, because a lot of the times people are like, oh, how are you? And it's like, you can think of 50 million things to say that went wrong. But really, I feel like I'm just going to focus on being blessed. What about you?
I love that, friend. And before I answer the question, that's honestly why I stopped asking people like, how are you? Because I feel like that's a loaded question with everything that's going on in the world today, because it's a lot to deal with and it's a lot to process. So I agree with that. What's right with me, similar to you, friend, what's right with me is that I have all of my needs met and I have my wants met too. I have, you know, family and friends that love me, encourage me, support me. I don't want for anything. I'm blessed. I'm safe. I got a job to clock into. I have things to look forward to. I'm healthy. I'm happy. I'm thriving. So I have a lot that's right with me. And even on my days that I don't feel my best, to your point, I always try to like focus on what is going right or what are the things that I can control. Because I find that a lot of times, a lot of the things that upset us are things that we can't even control. We can't control what happens to us, but we can control how we react and our moods. And so that's something that I've really been trying to focus on in this season of my life. And speaking of in this season in your life, we can go ahead and get into the question of the day. I really like this question. And the question of the day is, what is something that you're giving yourself permission to do in this season that you haven't in the past?
I love this question. I think this is a really good question. So I definitely am giving myself permission to choose myself, put myself first. I'm giving myself permission to say no to things that no longer serve me, that I've outgrown, and being okay with that. I'm giving myself permission to pour into me first. Because in the past or in other seasons, I've always been so focused on showing up and being there and doing and being and doing and being for everyone else and having nothing left to pour into my cup. So I feel like part of that is due to like people pleasing. And in this season of my life, it may seem selfish to some people, but for me, I feel like I have to put myself first. If I'm going to do it, this is the time to do it. So I'm giving myself permission to be okay with choosing me first. What about you? What are you giving yourself permission to do?
Thank you, friend. I love that. Thank you so much for sharing. I'm giving myself permission in this season to just be and to be creative and to put my gifts in the world, but also just to do things that bring me happiness and not do things that don't. Like in this season, I'm not going to do things that I don't want to do if I don't have to. And they could be the smallest things or the biggest things. And to your point, friend, they are so freeing in this season of my life. And then the other big thing that I'm giving myself permission to do in this season is rest. I think that, you know, a lot of times the hustle culture, the grind culture, you got to grind, 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 grind. No, you got to sleep. You got to rest. You got to reboot. You got to refuel. And lately over the past, you know, month or two, I have been challenging myself to rest. And so for that means after a certain time every day, like I just shut everything down. I try to cut my mind off and unwind, but also it means like one day a week, I don't do anything that takes a lot of brain cells. Like this, I'm paraphrasing you guys, but in the Bible it says that, and on the seventh day they rested. So if God says you gotta rest, he had to rest, then why wouldn't we have to rest? We can't do all
right.
And so my rest day is on Saturday. So on Saturdays I don't do anything that requires a lot of, you know, blood burn cells. So sometimes that means I take myself out on a date and unwind and, you know, just get out the house. Sometimes that means I, you know, maybe hang out with my family and friends. And sometimes that means that I just lay around and do nothing and watch Hallmark all day. And implementing that rest day into my week has really helped tremendously, because I've learned you can't be anything to anyone if you're nothing to yourself.
You said a whole word in that, and we ain't even started the show yet. But, you know, one thing that I am resting from is dating and relationships, child. So let's go ahead and get into the first segment of the day, which is dating and relationships. So the topic is finances. So Shelby, finances are one of the biggest reasons people get divorced or break up if they're dating. So being on the same page when it comes to money is so, so important. So when you're dating, how long into the relationship do you sit your partner down and have that money conversation? Or how do you go about it, and what questions do you ask?
Yeah, I feel like this is like such a tricky thing, because I feel like a lot of people don't talk about money, or they're scared to talk about money. I think it's important to do, because one thing that I've learned the older I've got is that everybody has a different relationship around money, and everybody has different levels of knowledge around money. And so I think that if you're going to intertwine yourself with somebody for the rest of your life, like, you got to know how they think and how they move with money. Now, I will say, like, this is just my personal opinion, so take everything that I say with a grain of salt. I think that when you're first getting to know someone and you're trying to figure out if you like that person, that's not when you talk about money. But that is when you need to find out if they got a job, if they can take care of themselves, pay their bills, and all that stuff. And I feel like you can find that stuff out just in having conversation with people, you know? Like, you'll just kind of know. Like, if he's being, like, super uptight and cheap and all that stuff, like, he probably ain't got no good relationship with money. Or maybe something happened in the past to where he hoards money to just stay on the safe side. Like, you never know. But I feel like for me, like, if I'm dating someone and we get to the point where we say that we want to get married, we want to settle down, we want to have a family and build a legacy, that's when we need to start having the money conversation. I also am not one of those people that think that, like, you just have to sit down and have this whole big conversation, which you can. But I think it's like many conversations that can, you know, pop up and go along. I think that, like, to my point when I say, like, hey, when you both decide, you mutually decide that y'all in a monogamous relationship, your boyfriend and girlfriend, and y'all are going to move to being married, to me, that's when you can have the conversation. And I don't really think there's a right or a wrong way to bring up the conversation, but I think the most important thing is that when you have the conversation, that you're very open and honest about your finances, very open and honest about what you do know and what you don't know and what you may need help with. I think that if you can both go to somebody that is, I don't know if the correct term is like a financial advisor or something, but if you all can go and kind of set up a money plan for when you get married and get on the same page about things, I think that's important. And then I think that it's really important when you're talking about money is to talk about, like, how you all are going to split the bills and who's going to pay what. Like, is it going to be a 50-50 thing? Is it going to be a 70-30 thing? Like, are y'all going to have separate accounts and then it flows into one? Are y'all going to have one account? If you have separate accounts, are you just going to be responsible for paying your bills and stuff? Like, I think you have to outline that all. I think that you need to know, you know, obviously what that person makes, you know, what are their benefits? Do they have good benefits, bad benefits? Does it make sense to, you know, get on the person that has the better benefits? I think it also makes sense to know what debt you have. Do you have credit card debt? Do you have student loan debt? What is your savings like? Okay, like, what are you paying? Do you have car debt? Are you about to pay your car off? What are your financial goals together? Do y'all want to buy a car? Do y'all want to buy a car? Do you want to buy, like, a home or a townhome? Do you want to invest in properties? I think that you need to lay out where you are financially. And then I think once you lay out where you are financially, I think that you need to set financial goals together and make sure you're on the same page. Also, ask about that credit. And when you ask, look at it. Ask them to show you what that credit look like. Because at least one of y'all needs to have good credit, preferably both of y'all. But ask about that credit. Ask to see it. And I think like I said, that they can just be ongoing conversations, but I think that they need to be open and honest and transparent conversations, because in my opinion, if I can't have like a conversation about money with somebody that I'm supposed to settle down with, then I couldn't be with that person. Because if you can't lead me in my finances, babe, you can't lead us in nothing. Nada. And I'm not saying that your person, like the man necessarily has to be the most financially, you know, fit or whatever. Because sometimes in some cases it's not, but I think that they have to have a good financial understanding and a good financial understanding and good financial standing in order for y'all to progress and to be together. So what do you think, Brent?
I think that is great advice. Everything that you said is on point. Now, honestly, I have never, ever, ever, ever in my life had this conversation with none of my relationships because just honestly, because they never went to that level of taking it to the next step. Because I do feel like what you were saying about, like, if you're just dating, getting to know each other, this is not the type of conversation you need to have. So for me, I've never gone to that next step of talking about marriage. So I can tell you guys what I actually look for in that beginning dating phase if I'm potentially looking for someone to partner with, right? So I first look at the man on how responsible is he being with his own money. What is his spending habits? Does he take care of his bills? Kind of like what you said, like, does he just be out here balling and not paying his rent? Like, you know, is he taking care of his responsibilities when it comes to money? And that brought me up to this conversation that was all over social media months ago about how Tyler Perry was on Crystal Renee's interview saying that if a woman makes six figures and her man can only afford to pay the light bill, as long as he loves her and treats her right, that should be okay. Which is, I'm paraphrasing, but that's what he said. And to me, I'm like, sir, do not speak on behalf of Black women. I don't care if you and Medea or not. Don't. Okay. And so for me, I think finances obviously matter to an extent when you're dating someone, and it does need to be discussed prior. But both of you need to come up with a plan that benefits both, because let's keep it real. I'm not trying to be cynical here, but some people ain't looking for love. They're looking for help. And so you need to make sure that you aren't putting all of your this is how much I make, this is what my bills look like, this is what I have, before they are willing to meet you at that same spot. So at the end of the day, I would ask, you know, how do you budget? What are your expenses? Do you have a savings account? Do you have a retirement? Do you have a credit card? Do you have credit card debt? Do you have student loans? Like, all of these are important things to talk about. And then take note, like I said, if you're in that dating phase, just take a mental note of how is he taking care of his own before you even ask about anything. Because honestly, I have dated people that looked great on paper as far as how much they made in their career and what their lifestyle was, but they still were irresponsible with their mindset when it comes to money. So it just kind of depends on what you're looking for. And then ladies, I'm going to just say it again, I would be careful about offering up that information of money too early, because some men can be gold diggers too, not just women. So I'm just saying. So before jumping into a relationship, you need to at least be mindful of these things. And back to the Tyler Perry comment, you know, I honestly, at this big age that I am, love is not enough at the end of the day when these bills are due. So for me, I would want someone to be able to add, not saying that if I made six figures, he has to make six figures on the money, but at the same time, I'm not about to carry all this burden and you just paying the light bill. Like, that's going to cause resentment in some type of way if all of the burden is on one person. Because I honestly, like, love and all that is great, but at the end of the day, when we got responsibilities and I'm the only one that can take care of the responsibilities, that ain't a partnership. I need you to add to me, not subtract, multiply, not divide. You know what I'm saying? So at the end of the day, I would say, these are very important conversations. This can be in the deal breaker department for me, not saying that you need to lead with how much money you make, because that's honestly unattractive. If somebody just leads with like, oh, I drive this, or I work here, or I do that, that could be unattractive, because how do you treat me? Yes. But at the same time, if we are a partnership, I want to make sure we're literally partners and not I'm taking all the burden or I'm putting all the burden on you. You know what I'm saying? I hope that made sense. That is my 2 cents on the dollar.
No, that was different. I think that was like a really good way to like wrap that segment up. But I think it's just, you know, a good things for people to think about and to consider when trying to, you know, figure out, like, is this my person? Is it time for the money talk? Because I think he said something that was really important, is that, and that was, like, not having the conversation too early, because some people are looking for help. They're not looking for love. And people always give women a hard time about being gold diggers, but there are some men out there that are gold diggers too. And I think that you have to protect yourself and use discernment when you're sharing that information.
Amen. All right, so I'll let y'all know how my first conversation goes whenever I get to that point. all right, let's keep it moving to our next segment, which is the journey. So this segment is when Shelby and I will just discuss our journey to all, building all things Melanin. What have we learned, some tips, tricks, things that we can share with you. So today's topic is teamwork. So teamwork makes the dream work, right? We had to work at it. So let's chat about how we work so well together and let one another operate in our zone of genius. So how did we get here? And what are some tips for our friends who are going into business together? What have we learned from working together?
Yeah, I love this question. So Erica and I have been friends for like 7 or 8 years. And we've been, and we've had all things Melanin for 6. And so to give you a little bit of background, before I answer the question, whether you're OG or you're new, regardless, we love you. So when Erica and I first got together, and started doing all things Melanin, we wrote down all the tasks that needed to be done, and we just split them down the middle evenly. As time went on, we started to figure out what each other's zone of genius was. And we just kind of figured out when Erica was doing things that she wasn't really passionate about or that wasn't her thing, it just didn't work. And, you know, same with me. And so we started having really open, honest, and transparent conversations about like, oh, okay, like, you know, you're really good at this. I think that you should do that. Like, how comfortable do you feel doing this? Or you should take this on. How comfortable you feel. And I say that because, like, it wasn't just like, oh, you're better at this, you're gonna do it. No, it's always been like a conversation. How do you feel about it? And like, we discussed it. Like, everything that it comes, when it comes down to all things Melanin, Erica and I talk about everything, and we take ego out of it. I think another thing that helps is that Erica and I are genuinely friends, so I know what Erica's strengths are, and she knows what my strengths are. And I think that it is so smart that we're so in tune with each other that we trust one another to operate in their zone of genius. So I'll give you an example. Erica, obviously, if you don't know, Erica has an interior design business, right? But Erica is so creative. Like, the way that she sees design and creative things physically, baby, God didn't give me that gift. And he never is going to give me that gift. And I struggle with it to this day. And instead of me just focusing on the design of things, like, why would I do that when that's Erica's zone of genius? So, for example, Erica makes sure that, like, our website is always updated, that all of our socials are updated and branded. She does all of our graphic design and just anything creative that you have to see. And then, you know, she does a lot of other things too, but that's just kind of the example that came to mind. I think that we work so well together because we're friends. I think that we work so well together because we don't have any ego and pride when it comes to this. We don't care who gets the job done. We just care that the job gets done and the mission is carried out. So I think that's how we work so well together. And I think that we give each other room to operate in our zone of genius. And when I say that, I mean, like, when Erica's creating and designing, like, I'm not all up her ass, like, do it this way or do it that way. Girl, no, like, this is your zone of genius. Do you, boo? Like, I trust you. And I think us just giving each other room to operate in it allows us to work smarter and allows us to conquer and divide. And I think it allows us to, you know, just to blossom and bloom in areas that we are good at. I think the advice that I would give to somebody particularly that are friends that are going to do business or a brand together, I would have you ask yourself, do you think that your friendship can withstand what you're about to do? Because I have amazing friends that I would never go into business with, that I would never do a brand with. Like, I think that me and Erica doing our brands together is God-given. And that's why I think that we work so well together. But I think that you're going to have to learn how to take your ego out of it and your pride out of it. Because sometimes I do things and Erica's like, you know, I don't really like that. Or maybe we can do it this way. And just not having your pride so tied up in it that you can't change or evolve and pivot and vice versa. And I think that we respect each other enough to know that, like, if we have thoughts behind something or ideas behind something, then we give each other the room to express that and try it. One thing that I love about me and Erica is that we will try it, and if it doesn't work, we'll take the lesson and the L, and we'll keep evolving. But that's what I would say. I think that's why we're able to work so well together. I feel like I just rambled. But what would you say, Fran?
Obviously, I would say the same thing. But what I can add to that, just to highlight what you said about, you know, basically not all friends can work together. That's important because I feel like a lot of the times, especially in our community, we think working with Kiki and them or our play sister, our cousin, that it's cool. But honestly, it don't work like that. You have to make sure that both of you or all of you have a similar interest. You have a similar work ethic. You have a similar goal before trying to work together. Just because that's your best friend from high school don't mean it's going to work. So what works for us is that we, like Shelby said, it was God-given. It was something that we both felt in our spirit before we even said anything about it. But then aside from that, we just relate well on the realm of creativity, period. Both of us are creative in our own right. Shelby is so awesome at writing, creative ideas, social media engagement. Like, that is her thing. That is not my thing. Okay. So that is her strong suit. Those are the most important things that you need to take from this, is that everyone on the team just play to their strengths. And so we both come together on planning and executing well. And that's due to us both taking our strengths and doing that. And then we have made those adjustments throughout the years about what works best for the other person and what we should do more or less of. And I think those are important conversations to have, because if why give somebody a task that is not their strength? Like, what is the purpose of that? Like, play to everyone's talents, gifts, and strengths. So that is really all I can add to that. I feel like working in business together can be a challenge with people, but you want to make sure that you're going into business with the right people and that you're both on the right end goal together. Because when me and Shelby started, we weren't just like, oh my gosh, we're friends, let's do something. We really had like a similar interest and passion for creativity. So that's where we started. So I hope that helps somebody out there to just remember to play to your strengths. And it's okay if you can't work with your friends. I, like Shelby said, no shade to none of my friends, but I can't work with nobody else. I can't. But I love y'all. So
love y'all big.
All right. So before we continue with the rest of the show, we just want to say thank you to each and every one of you, our Melanin fam, for listening in every week and rocking with us no matter what. So if you enjoy our podcast, please leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts, and share this podcast with someone you think would enjoy our show. It'll help us grow and help our community find us. So thank y'all for y'all support and love. It does not go unnoticed, believe us. So now let's continue with the show. So we're going to get into our mentor moment segment. So this is when Shelby and I will read a listener's letter that was submitted to us, and then we're going to give our advice on it. So the letter reads, "Hi, Erica and Shelby. I recently just launched a new business. It's been on my heart to bet on myself and just go for it. And I did. I must say that I'm so proud of myself. I opened an online boutique and business has been great. The problem is I feel like my family and friends feel so entitled and always want me to give them a discount every time I turn around. They're always complaining about how expensive my prices are, but then they turn around and go spend a rack on H&M or Zara, and the list goes on. I'm getting so frustrated because running a business is hard, but not having the support of my family and friends is starting to get the best of me. I'm stretched thin because I'm still working my 9-to-5 and side hustling with my new business. I'm sitting here thinking and I'm getting so mad. If you were me, would you confront your family and friends or just let it go?"
Okay. So first off, congratulations on your business and congratulations on it thriving and being a success. Kudos to you, because that is no easy feat. I don't have a lot to say. My answer is pretty straightforward, but like, this is what I will say. Like, as a business owner, like, you know, like, how much goes in on the back end of running your business, of getting quality material, of getting it to the right person. And if your family and friends can, like, spend money on Zara, ASOS, H&M, Fashion Nova, whatever, then they can pay your prices. If they don't want to pay your prices, then they're not your target audience and there's nothing that you can do for them. Like, I think that you're going to have to normalize, like, telling them no. Like, if you're not, like, you have to treat them like a customer. Like, you can't run your business in the ground for people who are going to consider you, or who, for people who don't respect your business. You know what I mean? Because if it was the other way around, then they would, you know, be upset with you. So if I were you, I would tell them, like, hey, you know, like, I am not going to give you any discounts. Like, if you would like to purchase something from my boutique, or you would like to support me, then I encourage you to go on my site or on my social media and, you know, purchase, like, just like a regular customer. If you're looking for discounts, then you're just going to have to wait until I run a sale or whatever that may be, if that's something that I decide to do. But I cannot continue to, I cannot give you a discount, because that's going to be harmful to my business. Another thing is to know that sometimes your family and friends aren't your target market, and sometimes your family and friends are not going to support you like complete strangers. I think a lot of times we take it personal because it can feel personal, but I think, like, you have to switch from this is my family and friends to these are just people that are interested in my brand. And if they want your stuff, they're going to purchase it and they're going to support you. And if they don't, then they can go do whatever they want to do. But I don't think that you should change what you're doing to benefit them and they're not even, you know, supporting you from the get-go. So if I were you, I would just tell them, like, hey, like, no, I can't give you a discount. If you would like to support me and purchase, you know, go through the site, be like everybody else. If not, I get it, I understand, no hard feelings, and keep it pushing. What about you, friend? What do you think?
Yes, I agree with that. And also, I would like to say congratulations on going for it and putting your business out there while also holding down a 9-to-5. I know that it's a lot of work. So yes, I would suggest you have that conversation with your friends and family, respectfully, obviously, like, just basically put your boundaries up with those people when it comes to, like, your business standards. Because what I don't think they realize, or they're probably not thinking of it that deep, but when you're first starting off in a business and you're an entrepreneur, the money that you're making is going right back into your business. It's covering your overhead costs. It's not going into your pocket so you can go buy some Shein outfits. Like, that's not why you are making your money. And Shelby's laughing at me, but I'm for real. Like, if you are getting any type of sales on your business, it's going back into your business. So if you think of it in a way of, if they want a discount, they're really eating up the profit of my business, and I'm not going to be able to cover the cost of the systems I use to keep track of the commerce or something like that. I don't know. But if your friends and family are going to support you, then they should support you with no discount. They should even help you market your brand. Like, if they bought a couple of sweatshirts and wear those clothes and, you know, put them on their social media or something like that. The price is the price, because people are going to buy what they want to buy from who they want to buy it from. So don't cheapen yourself by offering discounts or this is what we love to do too. Bargain. Don't let your cousin just say, hey, I'm going to do your hair if you give me one of them matching sets. Like, we're not bargaining. You're going to pay the price for that matching set. And so, and I'm serious, because people will do that. But I don't care if it's your family. I don't care if it's your best friend. They need to pay the price. And then also, I've personally had to tell someone this, that I, what you can say in a nice way, that you run a for-profit business. This is not a nonprofit. This is not, I'm doing stuff for free for you. I'm giving you free shirts and free merchandise. No, this is like, I'm running a for-profit business, because your skills, your creativity, that is not for sale. I don't care who it is. So you just have to be confident enough to move forward with your brand, your business, and your prices, because honestly, sometimes our prices are not high enough, if you ask me. But then nobody asked me. Well, actually, you did ask me in this segment, but I would definitely bring it up since you said that it was bothering you. But at the end of the day, most likely the people that are going to support you are the people that don't even know you personally. They don't. So Don't, you know, lower your prices if they're thinking, if they're saying it's too expensive. Those, that's just not your audience. Those are not your customers. And that is okay. Because nobody's going to Gucci and saying, y'all's prices are too high. They're not going to lower the prices. They actually have raised them because I just went on the site earlier. But that's my whole point, is don't ever lower your price for that type of friends and family situation. So that would be my advice. You ain't got to take it, but that's what I would do. So if you have a question out there that you want us to answer, send us an email to allthingsmelanintv@gmail.com or slide in our DMs on IG at allthingsmelanin__. So we are going to leave you with words of encouragement from Luke 6:37.
Okay, so the words of encouragement say, 37 through 38, do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. So I'm going to paraphrase this saying. I also encourage you to go back and read the full context and to interpret it for yourself. This is just my interpretation and what I got from it. So I wanted to share this Bible verse because I feel like with so much going on in today's world, like, people can just be so judgmental. And I feel like people, like, will judge you. They will talk about you. They will do all these things. But God also, Jesus also said, whoever has not sinned, cast the first stone. So first off, sin is sin. Like, there is no sin that is greater than any other sin. Sin is sin. And I just feel like it takes so much energy to judge people, to talk about people, to be negative about people. And so I think that with everything going on today, like, everybody is dealing with something. Even if somebody is happy, go lucky, whatever, like, everybody has something going on or something that they've gone through. And I think that we just have to remember to give people grace, to be kind to people, and to forgive and to let it go. I genuinely believe that forgiveness is for you, because while you are harping on something, the other person is not losing sleep. So I would encourage everyone to be kind, to be graceful, to let go, and to just do the best they can with people. Like, I'm not saying you gotta just be buddy-buddy with everybody, but I think just being kind and cordial to everybody goes a long way, because you may talk to somebody or interact with somebody that is doing their best to keep it together that day. And then also, I would just encourage you, if you can, you know, to just be encouraging and give. And I think a lot of times when we say give, you think monetary and money, and I don't think that's necessarily the case. I think sometimes when you give, that could be giving your time, giving your resources, maybe giving clothes or things that you don't use. Maybe that's giving somebody a hug. Maybe that's giving somebody time to talk and to vent. Maybe that's giving somebody, you know, time in your prayer time. I think when you give, you should give from the heart. Now, don't give and throw it in their face. Don't do that. That bothers me. But if you're going to give to the heart. And I think that this is just a reminder just to be kind and be of service to people in whatever way you can, even if it's the smallest thing, because even the smallest deed does not go unnoticed, and to do it from your heart. What about you, Brittany?
Yeah, I love that. I think when I read this verse, what it made me think of, like, in my personal life, if you are a giving person and you have given and given and given and you've gotten hurt by people, sometimes it makes you not want to give anymore to anybody ever again, right? So this verse tells me that obviously you need to forgive those people, but don't stop giving. Like, you know, like, if you have that giving heart, you have a giving heart for a reason. And I'm not saying continue to give to the same people that are just taking, but just don't change your heart space for giving. And sometimes we expect the person that we give to give us back something. Like, and not giving to expect something, but I'm just saying, like, if I give you my heart, I expect your heart too. And that's not how it goes. And sometimes when we give and we don't get something back, or, like, for example, if somebody hurts us and we're like, we expect that person to heal us. That is not how it works. So my point in saying all this is you have to continue to give. You have to forgive, because God will use other people to bless you. So don't think that, well, I've given and I've poured into this friendship. I've given and I've poured into this community, and I didn't, you know, they didn't pour back into me. Don't wait for that. God will bless you through other people. It's kind of like I was saying, when you hold on to that unforgiveness because you're expecting those people to who hurt you to heal you, it doesn't work like that. So don't worry about the effort that you've been putting in to people and haven't gotten it back from those particular people. Continue to give, to continue to forgive, and God will forgive you and give you back hundredfold in ways that you could never imagine. And I'm speaking that from personal experience when I say he will use other people to give it back to you. And that's all I got.
I love that, friend. I think that is the perfect segue for us to pray on out. So close your eyes, bow your head. If you're driving, do not do this. Here we go. Heavenly Father, we come to you as almost we know how. First and foremost, not to ask for anything, but to praise you and thank you for everything. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your mercy. I pray, Lord Jesus, that each and every person that has assembled to listen to this podcast, I pray that you would cover them. I pray that you would keep them. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would just open doors of abundance and blessings. I pray that you would close doors of harm and not meant for them. And I pray that whatever they're praying and believing for, Lord Jesus, that you would give them confirmation on what to do and where to go. I pray that they would trust your plan. I pray that they would trust their vision. I pray that they would bet on themselves. I pray that they know that they are loved and that they matter in your name. I pray. Amen.
Amen.